John Barkley comes up to receive the trophy. This, for the Scarlets fans, is simply great to watch. They were outplayed in the first half by a Tudor side that picked and win. The 1872 Cup back in Edinburgh hands. They've beaten Glasgow.
The first team in 17 attempts to come to Dublin and get a win. How good is that for you?
Oh, it's great.
All I'm getting at the moment are players shouting, knock on, offside, tackle out the ball. We're in the wrong sport for that.
The Zeebo special gets it wide to Earls. And Earls from here means only one thing.
Best stadium I've ever played in, the best atmosphere, the best supporters. Hopefully one day I'll be back.
Should of course apologise to any Munster fans listening. They'll have something to say about whether Leinster are going to be in the final as the Scarlets come again. Oh, brilliant offload. It's Brady with a stroll in under the sticks.
Oh, look, it's been a roller coaster here all my life. 47-10. Jesus, I thought I was in dreamland when we won the Pro 12. Phenomenal, phenomenal.
Hi guys, happy new year. Welcome to 2019 and welcome to the Outside Senators. There's a huge amount of rugby ahead of us. We're kind of, we're just collapsing under the weight of the amount of rugby we could talk about. So it's almost impossible to choose where we'll start, but we're going to talk this week about the upcoming European fixtures. So there's two rounds left in the Champions Cup. And we're going to have a look back over the last 2 weeks of the Pro 14. And we're going to tie it all in. And we're going to make it all seem related somehow.
So sweet.
And it's all going to be part of some, like God's picture of rugby, effectively, of how these things usually go. Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
So I suppose we'll start the game on Saturday for Pool 1, Leinster Toulouse. We can spin back to it, but let's not waste too much time in Leinster Toulouse. Toulouse are playing really well. Toulouse beat Leinster when Leinster was away in Toulouse. Toulouse are coming to Dublin. Johnny Sexton, World Player of the Year, isn't playing. Leinster will still be favourites, but it wouldn't shock the world if Toulouse won.
No, Toulouse have been playing outstandingly in Europe. They've been playing outstandingly, and also in the top 14. They've just come off a win against Agen, but they've been playing. It seems the old Toulouse are back.
Yes,
so they're coming back into the pedigree that they had. I know when the Pool 1 was drawn, everyone was like, oh, there's so many ex-winners in the pool, but realistically they've all fallen off apart from Leinster. Toulouse are making people kind of look again at that.
Yes.
But definite resurgence in Europe for Toulouse, so it's going to make for a fantastic.
Yeah, and I suppose what's interesting about this group and why we're starting with it is because of the knock-on effects of what happens, because both Toulouse and Leinster are going to go through. They're so far ahead of the other two, is it Wasps and Bath, who kind of did themselves no favours in the group stages and are effectively out. So they'll gather enough points that they'll definitely go through one and two. Now the problem of course is that there are only three second place places available. So we're going to have a quick look through the other groups and just shed light on some of the people who you think, oh, of course we'll go through to the quarterfinals, who won't necessarily be safe. I suppose a lot of people's expectation would have been that Leinster would run away with that group and Toulouse might stumble a bit. So Toulouse would be in the hunt maybe for a second place.
Yeah.
What has skewed it, I suppose, a bit is that Toulouse is now definitely getting that second place. Sorry, or Leinster's definitely getting that second place.
So depending on how this week's games goes, I mean, Toulouse from the last two games, they're going to get enough points. They play against Bath next week, so I mean,
No, they're definitely fine. So if we move on then to like what other people would have thought is a similar kind of example. So we've got Saracens and Glasgow are at the top of Pool 3. Now Saracens are at the top and Saracens would be expected to win their next two games. At the minute Glasgow are on 14 points. And what's interesting about that is Glasgow have their fixture at the weekend and which they'll win. They'll maybe get 5 points from it, so they get 19. But then they actually have to go and face Saracens in London, where they potentially leave with nothing and then they're on 19. So remember that number, and this is being generous.
True. So
that number, that puts them at 19. I don't know where it puts Saracens. Puts Saracens at 25, 26 or something more, maybe.
Yeah, so Glasgow are hosting Cardiff. Looking at last week's results, Glasgow lost to Treviso in Treviso, but they lost 20-17, which if you're expecting, if they've been trading scores all game, would have been fine. But Glasgow were up 17-6 at one point. So to kind of, they maybe took the foot off the gas a little bit and then all of a sudden let Treviso back into the game. So I feel Glasgow kind of had one eye on making sure that they get 5 points out of this game.
At least, but they need the five because they might get nothing from Saracens.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're really kind of having an onus on this game. And it's nice this year that Glasgow aren't just giving up on Europe and are really making a stated case for it. So
That was a cough of a real fan, by the way, out there supporting the Pro 14 all through with Christmas. Yeah, yeah.
I was at the last game, no?
Yeah, well, oh, you made one. Oh, you did make one. So then if you move on to Group 4, so this Racing, is where Racing... Leicester, so Racing running away with it, and now Ulster on 14 points... looking for the second spot. Now here again, you have an interesting situation because Ulster will be relatively confident, but they're home to Racing. Potentially they get nothing there, and now this that's very negative. But potentially they get nothing there, and then they're away to Leicester. Now Leicester are out of the hunt, but facing Leicester, and Leicester, if the media call on Leicester to put on or insult, I don't know. The British rugby press has sometimes a way of inciting the way the French rugby press does of inciting performances from teams who perhaps they think aren't performing well. But, you know, obviously the manager with a rational mind says, well, to hell with it.
I mean, but it is Jordan Murphy, so like you can trust his rugby mind. But also, since he's obviously Leicester hadn't been doing particularly well, Jordan Murphy was brought in at the beginning of the season as the interim head coach over Christmas, was made the permanent head coach, or just before Christmas. They seem to have slightly turned things around in the Premiership, so... maybe that placates them enough that they're happy enough to just do well in the Premiership and then kind of steady the ship at home before you do it abroad. So, as an Irish rugby fan, I'm hoping that that's the approach he's taking and Ulster have a good chance now. But
he's probably an Irish rugby fan as well. So, just look at that then again. Ulster are 14, home to Racing. Assuming, I mean, Racing are a superior side. Assuming Racing win, but Ulster get a point. Put some
maybe
50,
losing bonus point, yeah. And then
away to Leicester.
Away to Leicester.
They lose. No, they win. Let's say they win, but don't get bonus points. That puts them on plus 5 and puts them also on 19. You can see where this is going, obviously. But and this hasn't been mapped out in advance. So, especially towards the end, I'm going to take a bit of quick thinking to get one size to 19.
But yeah.
So then,
but I think it's fantastic fantastic from an Irish rugby perspective that Ulster are really... kind of people had written them off after last season. I know I'd kind of towards the end of last season I was a big homer for them. I thought they weren't missing too many pieces. This is only proving it now. They got one or two more pieces with Marty Moore coming back in the front row. They got Jordy Murphy coming up from Leinster, and they had Billy Burns coming over, and they've really kind of steadied the ship. And then on top of that you have Will Addison being virtuous, like just so fantastic this year, kind of making his first Ireland caps as well. Really shown that there is real strength in the back line there. And Spate, I think he's finishing up now, heading back to Super Rugby soon. But there's definite strength in that Ulster squad. Yeah, I think it's only a few missing pieces that they had.
Yeah, I suppose they had a particularly bad year last year for the Paddy Jackson reason.
Yeah.
And then there was this sudden investment in them. And maybe it was an overinvestment. But I suppose what's also forgotten is that they lost Ruin Pienaar. So, especially for Paddy Jackson, they're probably not going to have a great season trying to adapt to that last season
anyway.
Exactly.
Well, I think a lot of onus was put on John Cooney, and he's definitely stood up. And
I think he'd probably be the first to say he's not on the same level, but he's a very...
No, he's not on the same level, but I mean, I think the whole fact of losing the right half as well and kind of everything being very shaky up there, he was able to help right the ship, and he was a personality that they could kind of rally around. So I think that was that's really kind of helped Ulster from last season progress on. But so they're looking like they could make the playoffs this year in Europe.
Yes, so then we move on to Group 5. So Group 5 was, at the very start, Group 5 was the sensational group because Newcastle looked like they were running away
out of nowhere,
beating the two French sides. But that was it for Newcastle. Yeah. They're sitting on 8, Toulon are on 6, Toulon are out. Then Montpellier on 11 and Edinburgh on 15. So the top two are Edinburgh and Montpellier. So the next games are Toulon hosting Edinburgh. Edinburgh do need the points, to be sure. So
and they'll get the points. Toulon are giving
I actually
up.
Happen to disagree. I think that the Toulon are so mad and they're so erratic.
No, but why
would they bother winning is a good question. I'm just saying that they could win.
So they are already focusing on who they're going to be bringing in next season, because they're bringing in all the big names from the Southern Hemisphere rugby. So I think they already have kind of one eye on next season. And then they're French, it's rugby, they feel they're being beaten. So.
Right, okay. So let's put then to there'll be a reason for this, which will work out very quickly.
Yeah.
Just to humour me and say that Toulon don't just roll over and die, and Edinburgh just get 4 points. They
just
don't
get 4 points.
Yeah.
Okay, what? Are they on 19 then?
That would actually put them on 19. Then Montpellier hosts Newcastle, from which they will get 5.
Yeah.
So that will put them on 16. And then the weekend after that, Newcastle host Toulon. They'll both be it. Doesn't matter what happened there. Happens there. But then you'll have Edinburgh on 19 and Montpellier on 16.
And Edinburgh hosts Montpellier.
Yeah, and Montpellier will need the 4 or 5 to definitely get through. Yeah. And if they do that, and obviously they're one of the best teams in Europe. So, and Edinburgh, as much as Edinburgh are playing incredibly well, before the championship started, you would have definitely bet on Montpellier to win that must-win game against Edinburgh. At that point, you would have Montpellier leapfrogging Edinburgh and leaving Edinburgh on 19 points. There you go.
So are we saying there's no losing bonus point?
Well, for the purpose of the maths, I would say. Well, to be fair, I'm not giving other losing bonus points than the others. Yeah, so this is just illustrative. It's illustrative.
Yes.
So it's three teams on 19 points.
So then pool two, possibly the most evenly distributed points. But sorry, the most evenly distributed points in the European Cup.
Yeah, I think it was last week we were talking, just before Christmas, last show, we were talking about how before Gloucester and Exeter played each other, that who was ahead? I think it was Exeter were ahead. No, Gloucester were ahead.
Gloucester were ahead.
Yeah, and if Gloucester had beaten Exeter, it would have put them in the hunt.
Exactly. Gloucester were in second, I think, and Cass were in third. Exeter decided to ruin Gloucester's party.
Yeah, so now to use the most... What's happening in this group is that you've got Munster at the top and then you've got Cast second. And there's a drop down to Gloucester and Exeter both in 8. So...
Well, there's not much of a drop down though. So Munster on 12 points, Cast on 9, Gloucester on 8.
I suppose what I'm trying to illustrate there is that the expectation is that maybe they've wiped themselves out, because had... Gloucester actually beaten Exeter, they'd be on 12 and in the hunt.
Yeah.
At 8, what they both need, if they're hoping to get through in second, they both need 5 points for the next 2 games. So the next 2 games are Gloucester and Exeter take on Munster and Cast in both fixtures.
Yeah.
So the two English sides versus the other two sides. So what you'll see there is, I mean, it is potentially possible that Gloucester and Exeter win both those games. If they do, it puts both of those on 18, let's say, if they get 5 points. So then you've got two teams on 18. Joint first, whatever the difference, the point score difference then that would decide between them. Now, most people think that's unlikely to happen. Munster will win one of the games.
So, this is the thing. Not to ruin your perfectly laid out plans.
I didn't get to 19 there.
But
I will, though, easily with Cass, because if Cass
wins,
if Cass wins his next 2 games, it gets to 19,
yeah,
and then if Munster wins his next 2 games, it gets to 22.
So I'm going to stop 19. You right there, though.
Yeah.
I think Gloucester could rain on Munster's parade this weekend.
You see, there's no reason, because Gloucester,
if they do that, they effectively can put Munster out. So if we're looking at the last round, Cass hosts Gloucester, which you have to feel Cass win. Right?
Yeah, of course.
But Gloucester hosts Munster this Friday.
Yeah.
Munster played a lot of their top players in the Interpros over Christmas. They put out they didn't care against the game against Ulster up in Ravenhill. They didn't care, so as a result, they were fine. They eyed up the Leinster game, put full strength squad out for that, and they put a pretty full strength squad out for the Connacht game. So they didn't really rest that many players during the Interpros over Christmas, which some of the other teams might have done. Like, if you look at the Christmas results, even in the Premiership and in the Top 14, then the Pro 14 as well, there's definitely some strategic player selections. So, I mean, I know as the Leinster fan, I might still be a bit sour from what happened on the 28th, but I think Munster aren't looking too strong.
Well, we're going to talk about the Pro 14 games in just a bit, but...
But just for the sake of maths there...
I think Gloucester's going to... Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. Munster actually haven't had a particularly good European Championship.
So
there's a kind of an expectation that because the other two are on 8 points, they'll give up. If they don't, Munster are in trouble. But
I think Gloucester wins, so that would put Munster on 17.
Yeah, I think that it's unlikely that Exeter actually thought that they could qualify. And then when they did beat Gloucester, they were just delighted. There was a bit of local pride in the fact that they beat Gloucester.
They
I think that probably took the wind out of Gloucester's sails. And Gloucester, looking at 8 points, are thinking that it is such so far-fetched that we get through and get 5 points for the next 2 games. I think they're probably going to check out, would be my expectation. And I think
Danny Cipriani's back this week.
Which will get. So I think Cass and Munster are going to do quite well. They're both going to get 10 points, which will put Cass on 19 points.
Okay.
So then, what this looks like. And by the way, I mean, this is actually going to be very close to actually what does happen.
But potentially.
What we're going to have is the second place team to go through will be either the top second place team or the team to go through will be Toulouse or Leinster. And then you have four teams battling for two places based on very, very small margins. And that would be Cast, Glasgow, Ulster and Edinburgh by this analysis, or potentially Montpellier. Okay. So, yeah, no, that was just to illustrate there's still all to play for.
Absolutely.
No, the most long-winded way of explaining. It's still all to play for.
But, no, it,
but that's not about the games of wear play. That's not about the Brovardine games.
You know, in the sense that everything's still to play for in amongst... If you're the top two in your pool at the moment, you have a chance, essentially, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
But if you're not one of the top two, unless you're in pool two, yeah, you're done. You're done. It's interesting. It's going to definitely be an interesting set of games coming up.
So you were saying, there are two Pro 14 games before the European games. So there's one just after Christmas and there's one just after New Year's.
Yeah.
And they just happened. And you were talking there about how Munster beat Leinster down in Thomond, 26-17, wasn't that the final result?
Yeah.
Do you remember? You were watching it with me. Do you remember?
Was it a rugby match or was it a UFC fight night? It got a bit heated, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, we were watching that. I mean, we were unaware. I suppose we don't waste our time on social media when we're watching rugby. We're just watching rugby. No,
exactly.
We're just drinking. But we're just drinking, watching rugby.
I
was brought to our attention by somebody who was on social media not paying attention to the match that people were pointing out that the ref was actually a former Munster player.
Yeah, former Munster player.
Which
is
a bit extreme. Yeah.
I mean, I know it was nice to see Johnny Sexton pulling Joey Carberry away from the rest of the fighting. I mean, he's still looking after him, you know?
He treated Ian Madigan, yeah.
But I think what was interesting
about this is that there's an expectation. You're talking there about resting players. There's this expectation that teams will rest players. Leinster definitely did rest their players.
Yeah.
But you're saying Munster didn't. And what's interesting with that is I did go back and have a look.
Yeah.
Because the expectation would be that coming up to Europe, if teams are resting players, then you'll have more unusual results. And if you go back to the 2015-2016 season, when these fixtures were happening, you had a very strange weekend just after Christmas when four of the games the away teams won, which is highly, highly unusual. This includes Ospreys beating Scarlets in Park Scarlets. So we did see that 3 years ago. That it does have an impact.
Yeah, and just to show that it skews the statistics as much as it does, like that was back when it was still only 12 teams. So there's six matches. So like,
2/3 of them were away wins, which is a crazy statistic for them.
Mad.
And even the when you look at that, and then afterwards, they had their New Year's games in that season. There were 3 away wins out of 6, so half of them were away wins, which included Munster over Ulster in Belfast and Edinburgh beating Glasgow.
I think as well, at that point, Ulster they weren't nearly as strong as they were now, and Munster were still quite strong. I mean, like they would have had a lot more Irish representation back then as well.
Yeah, well, I think, absolutely. And I think what's interesting, though, when you look at it year on year, is that the fixtures after, in case anyone's thinking of trying to make money out of this, which is kind of like the gambling aspect, is that actually it righted itself the years after. Mm. So you see that when it became the Pro 14, you did have 3 away wins just after Christmas, but the New Year's fixtures for both years were all home wins, apart from 2 away wins on the 6th of January. So what you can see is that the question to be asked there is, when back 3 years ago, when people were like, well, this is an interesting window where players are being rested for Europe. Was that the only time that could be taken advantage of? Because it seems that, if you like, a version of game theory is taken into effect, where people know how you're going to respond, what team you're going to put out, and they put out whatever team. Like, they know that, Leinster's going to put out a B team, effectively, but do you really want to kill yourself beating that B team? Because it's not going to be a bad B team.
But, well, Munster clearly decided that they wanted to go that route this year.
Well, like, I mean, obviously they want to win at home, I suppose, with a home pride.
True. As much as it pains me to say, I do think the fact that Munster beat Leinster is a good thing in this idea. And like we've talked about it, how the Leinster Munster rivalry in the past, it's been quite Leinster heavy recently, which is good. But also that they're no longer in the same conference, so it really doesn't have too many knock on effects. But the I think in this most recent game,
isn't the interesting thing about this window when there are the Pro 14 games before the European games?
Yeah.
Is the interesting thing that actually that's the only window that Munster can beat Leinster in?
Yeah.
So when you're saying that it's interesting that they put out this strong side, it actually turns out that the only two games they've won in the last, 4 years against Leinster have been in the window before Europe in Thomond.
So
they haven't put out a strong side because this is always their benchmark game. I mean, this is... To win that, I suppose, solidifies your place as coach, whatever. I don't know. Plays about you down in Munster, do they?
It's much more passionate based rather than statistics based. That's what say down there. So, but it's interesting. So we're looking at the statistics, and since 2015-2016 season, including that season, Leinster and Munster have played each other nine times, and Munster have only won twice.
Right, nine times and only twice. Yeah.
So it's
and within that window. But I suppose, as I was saying, there doesn't seem to be much gambling money to be made from that.
No.
The games become a lot closer statistically. So if there was an over-under, there's certainly money perhaps to be made in that. They become closer, but still the home team tends to win, or the expected favourite. I mean, the home team rule doesn't work, obviously, when Leinster are playing Zebre away or what have you. But,
And then I suppose that was an interesting piece as well about last week's games, that the South African teams hadn't been playing over Christmas, so we were seeing only six games.
Too hot. They're having too much fun.
No, but
it's the summer.
But there's only six games played over Christmas most weeks until last week when they finally kicked back in, and so the Cheetahs travelled up and played Zebre and beat Zebre. But the Kings shouldn't have bothered coming back up. They lost 38-0 to Edinburgh. I suppose there's not much that you can draw from these results. Scarlets have been poor.
I suppose the big takeaway from Pro 14, apart from the fact that during this period when you expect crazy results, they didn't happen.
Yeah.
Is that apart from one, I mean, Scarlets are out of Europe and they lost 34 to Cardiff Blues at home. I mean, whatever's happening in Scarlets. I mean, they were last year. It's shocking to think they thought they could be the champions.
It's absolutely crazy.
They played Leinster in the semi-final of the European Championship in Dublin. They were never going to win. They could win in Dublin.
They have won
Pro 14 the year before.
They have won them. So, I know I've mentioned it before, but what have the Welsh Rugby Union done? They've given him the job already after Gatland leaves, Pivik. And he's decided to bring his whole crew with him, and now
maybe they are just phoning it in is the problem. They do have the CVs.
If I was Lee Halfpenny, I know Lee Halfpenny was injured over the winter break. I think he was recovering from concussion-like symptoms or something along those lines. I need to double check that, but not great for Scarlets.
Just to remind you all then about the weekend, this entire podcast is brought to you by the number 19.
The bench second row. Yeah, there you go.
Bear that in mind over the weekend, how close the guys in second come to that magic number of 19. And sorry for the podcast being so numbers based.
Well, are we going to do our thing now? Are we going to So what's the accumulator of the week?
The accumulator of the week?
Yeah. I think it's not as straightforward as with the Pro 14, where generally the home side wins all the time. I think there's going to be some interesting results this week. Okay, so if you look at Gloucester Munster, my money is on Gloucester in that, even though they have nothing to play for. I think Danny Cipriani is enough of a dick that he'll try to ruin the party for Munster.
Right, okay, well, I'm going to take Munster. I think Munster will win that.
Okay. I'm going to say Leinster at home.
Leinster against Toulouse, Leinster to win. Montpellier at home against Newcastle, Montpellier to win. Ulster at home to Racing. I think Racing will win.
I have to give it to Racing as well.
They kind of need to win just to be sure.
True.
Bath versus Wasps, we might leave out the accumulator. Who knows?
It's at home in Bath. Wasps have surely given it up. Yeah. Sam Underhill is Bath just great. Yeah. Sam Underhill is also the reason why England are going to stand any chance now, because they actually have a number 7 that is English.
Mm.
Weird that.
Scarlets at home to Leicester. Scarlets only getting 5 points at the weekend. I mean, you could say they're resting their players for this game, but why would they be resting their players? They're out.
I'd say
Leicester will win it.
Yeah.
They won't try, but they'll win it.
Yeah. They'll accidentally do it.
Yeah. Toulon hosts Edinburgh. You say Edinburgh will win. I think Toulon will win that.
I'm taking so extra cast. Lyon Saracens.
Will win that.
The more interesting bet is, do Saracens hit 100 points or not?
And Glasgow home, Glasgow have to win.
Glasgow has to win that.
So they will win.
That'll be a bonus point win. So
you can't really extrapolate out to the week after. But for that, we've got two different accumulators. We disagree on. I think Munster will beat Gloucester, and do you think Edinburgh will beat Toulon?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll put 1 euro.
I'll put 2. Anyway, guys, we'll talk to you next week on enjoy the rugby this weekend. 3 days of rugby, no? Three days. Friday, wow. Saturday, and Sunday. I mean, let's hope anyone manages to keep a dry January during that.
Well, our game starts at 1 on Saturday. God help us. God help us.
Okay, talk to you next week, guys.
John Barkley comes up to receive the trophy. This, for the Scarlets fans, is simply great to watch. They were outplayed in the first half by a Tudor side that picked and win. The 1872 Cup back in Edinburgh hands. They've beaten Glasgow.
The first team in 17 attempts to come to Dublin and get a win. How good is that for you?
Oh, it's great.
All I'm getting at the moment are players shouting, knock on, offside, tackle without the ball. We're in the wrong sport for that.
The Zeebo special gets it wide to Earls. And Earls from here means only one thing.
The best stadium I've ever played in, the best atmosphere, the best supporters. Hopefully one day I'll be back.
Should of course apologise to any Munster fans listening. They'll have something to say about where the Leinster are going to be in the final as the Scarlets come again. Oh, brilliant offload. It's Brady with a stroll in under the sticks.
Oh, look, it's been a roller coaster here all my life. 47-10, Jesus. I thought I was in dreamland when we won the Pro 12. Phenomenal.